Praise be to God.
All right. So, God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are here again, Lord, gathered together in thy name, Lord. We believe, Lord God, that you're going to take over and speak to the hearts of the people. That is the purpose we've come here, Lord. Thank you for the singing service, Lord. It was great, Lord. We worshipped the King, Lord. It was great, Lord. We believe, Father, that you do the same with the teaching service now, Lord. Take over is our prayer now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. And guess it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for praying that thing that well. That was sweet. I didn't know that Brother Don can be. Hey, is it working? Yeah. It's working? All right. All right. So I didn't know that Brother Don can be that good song leader like that. That was good, Brother Don. Yeah, she sits down there and she puts she puts the heat on you, and that's good. And that's good. Everything is very, very good here. This is a great church. And as I say, people look at numbers. I don't look at that. I look at about the godliness that people have, love, and things like that that people have. That shows how great our church is. So I bring you greetings from Kenya, different places. I think there was somebody, that's Brother Peter from Qatar. He was listening from Qatar. I think there was another brother in Britain, listening in Britain. There are different people in Kenya, different churches. They were tuned in last night, and we had a good time. immediately after that, I preached another service, and I could not upload it on the YouTube. And I think that one, my wife was so, I think I was preaching to my wife. My wife came up and said, and she was in the bedroom, and she didn't, I didn't know that she was listening in, and that's good. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. The second one is accurate in English. First one was in Swahili, so that one might not be very much here. It can be listened in here. But the other one was in English. Somebody can listen to it. A little bit sensitive. After preaching that one in the morning, I cannot go. I cannot move from there. I felt like I need to bring the other one, and I had immediately to switch on and to bring the other one. I'm trying to put it in the YouTube this morning. I was not able, but my wife helped me. I think it's in the YouTube now. I'm very nervous. I'm very nervous, you know, because I want to do the right thing. And before I come to this, I've got to check whether what I think is truth is what the prophet's saying. If I see it, that's all I can do. If I see what I'm thinking, I don't bring it. Brother, I think things, I don't bring them until I go back there and I see. If I see the prophet say it, even if I was thinking to say it in these words, I like his words. I'll just say with his words and just leave it there. Some of these things are very sensitive, but they are there. The prophet has spoken them, and they are there. And it feels like I'm condemning people. I'm not condemning anybody. If there's any righteous man here on earth, you people are far much better than me. You don't know my life. People talk about Brother Don selling drugs like that and dealing with drugs and Brother Kina like that. That's okay. That's what was. That was the top knock. The top knock. Knock. Is it knock some here? That was the apex of badness here. I also did the top. Of course, I didn't kill. I didn't do those things. But I did everything that was bad. If you talk about my life, I'm a bad guy. I'm I'm not clean. I'm not good at all, at all. But rather, when he sees something here, I don't want to, and that's my emphasis very much last night. I'm not the standard. Nobody here is the standard. The word is the standard. Amen. And we got to squeeze ourselves and do everything to fix, yeah. I mean, to fit in that word. We're not going to try to make the word and try to squeeze it so that it fits what we are. We are not the standard, and no one of us is the standard. Let's look at what he says. And sometimes, sisters, brothers, it's very hard because you see it and you look at yourself, you're miles and miles away from what he said. That does not matter. He'll bring you to it. If you're a child of God, if you're a son of God or a daughter of God, he'll bring you. Don't worry. Just stay there, what he says. Just there. He's obligated. Let me say, he's obligated. It is his work. We are his children. You're not bringing it to him in righteousness. If we have in righteousness, why did he die? What is his work then? We're not bringing to him in righteousness. It is his work to clean us and to bring us to himself. And he's done that and he's doing it. So what we see in him, let's not try to twist it or anything. Let's just say, all right. And that's something that is really very much on. And let me say something here, sisters and brothers. I'm accused of hating the ministers very much. But sisters and brothers, that's where I see the problem is. It's the ministers. Amen. It's not you people. You people are looking at us and seeing. Praise be to God. And I was thinking about, I'm coming with that, but I was thinking about David, maybe I'll come to that, and how great those ministers were, that they were supposed to carry that ark of the covenant in their shoulders, the ministers. That was their work. And David thought there was another way. Maybe I'm coming to that. I'm coming with a Habakkuk like that. David thought the best way was to consult the the generals of the army. He didn't consult the prophet of that age. He didn't consult him whether it was time to bring that ark of the covenant. And it was a good thing. He was doing a good thing. And he thought that he would carry it with a new cart. You know, he was a king, so he made the best. The cart. A cart is going to carry the word of God, the ark. A new cart. It has never carried. Now it was new. Beautiful. Everything was, there's nothing, you look at it, there's nothing you can condemn about it. It's so good. Maybe the beauty, you know, that was the mentality of David. I can see the mentality of David. David looked at where he lived. He said, I'm not supposed to live in this kind of good house like that. And God is not living in a good house. That's the kind of mentality he put God first. So if he would have liked himself to be carried in a good cart as a king, he made the best for God, brothers and sisters. That cart was. Then he took a calf that had never carried nothing here on earth. A new one. And he put it there. Everything was perfect by the eyes and the standard of our understanding. Praise be to God. But according to the word, and I don't know why God does these things. You know, the other day, but let me finish that first. So it was supposed to be carried by ministers on their beggars. Yes. A type that the ministers carry this word. And the prophet said in one of the books that they are supposed to marry virgins, because he said, because that is in the those are quotes in the book called Marriage in Force. He said, why? Because they carry the fire of God. What is the fire of God? The fire of God is this word. This word is fire. That pillar of fire is him. They carry it. Praise be to God. That's the response. That's why you hear me. It seems like I'm a beef with, I don't have a beef with the minister. I'm a minister.
But it is them. If you see Nicolaitan, you people don't bring Nicolaitan in the churches. You don't. It's we ministers. If we are a certain doctrine against the word is brought, it's not we people, it's not you people, it's we ministers that bring doctrines to fit a certain kind of a thing that you want. It's we people. We got to come to a place where we got to preach to ourselves also and tell ourselves we got to go by what he says and leave nothing else. We cannot lean on our own understanding. We got to go by his word. We got to go by what he has said. Don't interpret it. Don't say because of them, because of. Leave it there. It's interpreted. You know, I just remembered that Brother Don the other day said something like when Abraham went there with a. I don't know why God does those things. Brother, I don't know. I don't know. He had a lamb. He didn't have a lamb. And God created a lamb. And the brother don't say that people create that and say that cannot be true because God is against. God is against people sacrificing human. That's right. But you go back to the Bible, you find in Judges, there was a girl that was sacrificed. I don't know whether you people know that. I was telling Sister Esther the other day about that. You remember that, Sister Esther? I was assuming I told you that. It was a girl that was sacrificed. I don't know her name. I don't remember her name. Yeah. And his father was called Jephthah. Jephthah went to war, and he fought the war. And he came back home, and when he was coming back. So I don't know what God does whatever he wants. I'm coming back to that. God does whatever he wants. God does whatever he wants. And he met this girl. I don't know. You look like Rebecca. Looks like he wants to hear that story a bit. Okay. He came from the war, and he did very good at war. And he said, "Oh God, I'm so thankful to you for what you've done to me. I'm so thankful to you, and I'm going home now. But Lord, I'm telling you, whatever meets me on the way when I'm getting home, whatever meets me on the way that's mine, I'll sacrifice it to you." And the first person who came out of the house when he saw his dad coming, it was that girl. She came running. And he said, "Oh, my daughter, what have you done to me? What have you done to me?" You know, God does whatever he wants to do. And now, when you're preaching that, we feel like we don't want to mention that very much to the people because we look bad. It is what? Just leave it there, like the way it is. Don't try to make it anything. It's just like that. If it looks bad, Brother Don, it's bad. I don't know what to do. God is not bad. Whatever he does, he's the fountain of righteousness. All those things that he does, and it looks like he's doing bad, it is the fountain. Like killing of Christians, killing them and accusing Saul because of not slaughtering everybody, and even calling that king, "Come out here." And he said, "Because you've made women widows, let your women now be widows." And he smashed him there. Those things don't seem like, is it God? He's the same God. He's God. He's the fountain of righteousness. He has no standard to look at. He's nowhere to compare him with. He's him. He's that righteousness. Whatever he calls righteousness is righteousness. Whatever he calls wrong is wrong. And you just leave it at that. So that girl said, "Daddy, don't worry." She said, "Daddy, don't worry." He said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "Just give me 3 months." I think 3 months. I don't remember very well. 3 months to go and celebrate my virginity in the mountains with girls of my age, and I'll come back and daddy do it. And I thought, it's not here, it's not anything to do. I just remembered. But that's what God does whatever he wants to. And it sounds bad, but it's God, and he does whatever he wants to do. Okay, now, today, I didn't intend to be very long, and as usual, I'm trying to
I'll try not to speak very much. I'll try to just read the quotes. Where is the Lord God of Elijah, part 3? I don't do nothing till I see the Father do. Or I see the Father do it. Now, that's something that I look at, and I think that sometimes we go overboard with it. Brother Don, I've not written that now. It's been there. It's been there for the last maybe 1 month or something. I'm not written it there now. I was even wondering how to look at it when I came to this after preaching so hard. My mind was, sleepy and things like that. But sometimes we go overboard with that. And Brother Don, you're called a builder, and every one of us is called in a different ways. Brother Don is a builder, and he has customers, and he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 customers lined up, different jobs like that. And you count 1, 2, 3, 4, and you say, on Monday I'll be this one, and like that. And that is good. God called you a builder. And that's exactly what the problem was with Moses. I'm coming with that in the part 4. God called Moses to be the deliverer. That was his work. And he's seen the Father do something, and then he's not doing it, being slothful and like that, and waiting for God. That's why last time I was saying that the prophet says that sometimes you give them a shoulder to lean on, and then they want you to carry them. He says, no, you have a duty. Now, Brother Don, I was giving an example of Brother Don. Brother Don, you cannot call them and say, I've not seen the Father building. I've not seen God doing it. I'm waiting for that. You can do that, brother. That's sometimes, oh, I miss work. I miss work where I go. And I say, oh, sister, you miss work. And you say, I was waiting for that, says the Lord. It's not like that. We are not using this right, or we are misusing it. It's not like that. It's not like that. We live our lives. You live your life the way you live. And listen, let you be so close with God that if God doesn't want to, like Paul was called to preach, he started preaching. He was called just go to preach to the Gentiles, and he started. God did not even tell him you're going to start here. He started where he was and started. And started. And one time God did not want him to go any further. He stopped him there. God will stop you. Exactly. God will stop you. You are so close. Your lines and him are not clogged up. You have a line. You have a line. They're so close. So close in contact. That his mind is your mind. You know what he wants in life. In life, he called me to be a preacher. In life, he called me to be this. In life, he called me this. And that's where I am. I'm living that life. Not every time. And pray every morning. God, I'm here. This is another day, another good day God will give it to us. I'm thankful to you. Take me and don't let order my steps. Because there are even steps that you need not. There is always temptations and everywhere. Help me, Lord. I'm so weak. I don't know what to do. I'm here every day I walk. This is my work that you gave me. This is where I'm going. Lord, take over. Every morning you do that. If you're stepping somewhere you're not supposed to step, you take that step and step it somewhere else. God will do it, brother. Yes, sir. God will do it. But he needs closeness. He needs a son and a father relationship. So close that's where we've been. Take it back to where you just lay like Adam. He just laid himself on the heart of God. And God was his father. That's where God wants us to be. Praise be to God. if you are in your duty, something happens. God will come in there. The Spirit stopped him. And did you know, read that scripture very well. Paul, when he knew, God is so close to him, he knew God does not want me to go preach. And you didn't argue. You got the scriptures,
He's told, God told him, and he knew, go to the gate of prison. But he's still on his control. He's controlled by God every step, everywhere. And he reaches there. Do you know what he did? He went to sleep. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. He went and slept and forgot about everything. And he slept and like he's not even a preacher. He's not studying, he's not doing that. He doesn't know what to do. And he lay there. Because the Bible said it was not a vision. He says it was a dream. And he saw a man in a dream from Macedonia coming around and he said, my soul services. And he woke up and there was nobody. It was a dream. And he gathered. He knew that was God telling him to go to Macedonia. And he dropped to Macedonia. God was with him step by step. He was a prisoner. He was a prisoner to God. That's where God wants us to be. A prisoner to him. That he can twist you whoever you want. You can be driving and he will allow you to drive. You're driving to your job, brother Don. And you're driving and you're in Denver. And he tells you, son, turn around. But you're so sure that it's him, you just turn around. You don't even have questions. You just turn around. And you're so sure he's... Praise be to God. Then you know later why he told, because everything is with a purpose. But he wants us to trust him so much that when he tells you, don't move. You just don't move, not knowing what to do. But you trust him, Lord, I'm on your hands. Just like Adam. He just laid on his hands. And God did whatever he wanted to do with him. That's exactly what God wants us to do. To lay on his hands. And the rest of them, he takes care of. I don't do nothing till I see the Father do. And he doesn't say it. Sometimes he doesn't say it. They don't even say that I've seen the Father do anything. But whenever you see him doing something, because he has seen the Father doing it. Let's read this. In the book called Presuming, 1962. paragraph 107. Let me go like that. Let me go with a testimony, like Moody had. Moody was dying. Moody was dying. I think he had a brother called Luke. If you read that, he had a brother called Luke. And Luke was very close, like Brother Branham was with Billy Paul. That was Moody and Luke. Those are our brothers. They were brothers. And he was really helping Luke. And they come, and Moody was dying. Moody now is dying. In this quote, Moody is dying. And they come and start singing because he's on the bed. And he knows he's dying and everyone knows he's dying. And they start singing songs to say goodbye. Goodbye, Moody, goodbye, goodbye, saying like that. and he said, don't sing death songs. Just sing happy songs, joyful songs. Because I'm not, praise be to God, I would like to die like that, but that's sweet. You know you're going, you're so sure you're going to heaven. You're going to a better place. You made it right with him. Everything is right. You're going to heaven. You are going to him. Don't sing those songs. They sing joyful songs. This is victory. And he called Luke. He said, Luke, we've done very many things with you. We've gone down places to preach and things like that. But my time has come. Let's continue with that. I'm going home. Bye. I'm going home. Be joyful. I'm not going to suffer anymore. I finished my work here on earth. Brothers, that's to me that's strong. Because everybody's unhappy that somebody's going, but that man is telling them, don't worry. He knew, he was so sure. No. Moody. Let me go with my testimony, like Paul Hart. I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your sting? Grave, see, sting of death is sin or something. Through justification, all my sins have been taken away. I don't have nothing. No sting of death. Grave, where is your victory? Wherever you put me, I will raise up because of him who rose up of him who rose Jesus Christ up. I'll rise up, I'm sure. So bury me anywhere. Let me be eaten by whatever. I'll rise up. I can point to that and say, grave, where's the victory? You can't hold me there. Nothing can hold me there. I'm going to rise up and live forever. Christians don't die. Christians sleep. For a good fight, I finished the course. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us victory. Therefore, basing back in the back in the Old Testament, I drew this conclusion of a title message now, presuming. Webster, I've wrote it out here. Webster says, to presume is to venture without actual authority. Can you see this? Can you see that? It's to venture without actual authority. You don't know. I remember the one time. It's a bad thing to venture without authority. Even to call people here, come, I pray for you. Come on, are you sick? Come, I pray for you. I'll pray for you. You don't have any other, what authority do you have? You don't know. You're not sure. You're just presuming that you're going to pray for somebody and he gets healed. You know, we face it. That's the truth. God has not told me that you're going to get healed. I don't know whether you're going to get healed or not. I don't know. You're venturing without authority. But when you have authority, you can call the whole world, come and see this man is going to have a leg. I have the authority, he told me. Do you remember him? Do you remember Brother Abraham? When he was told by God, you're going to have a son, and his name will be Joseph. Do you remember that? Do you remember that when the first child that came was a girl? And the people said, no, Brother Abraham, you didn't hear it well. It was not Joseph. It was Josephine. You didn't hear it properly. Did you hear that? Did you remember that? And he said, no, I know. Joseph is coming. The fact that a girl has come does not change God. God said Joseph, and Joseph is coming. And he kept telling people, Joseph is coming, until Joseph came. Praise be to God. He was so sure. But do you remember when he went to Belgium, and that baby was covered? Do you remember that? That baby was covered and he was dead, completely dead. And he came up and he said, I saw this. And the prophet said, he is advantaged. Or that is the kind of calling that he has. He sees visions. He said, you don't see visions because you are not prophets. Do you remember that? He said that in the question and answers. And he said, you don't see visions. But there's a way that God talks to you. Just like the prophet is talked to through visions. There's a way each and every one of us, God talks to them. And you're so sure, because you're so close with him, you're so sure that it's God who is talking to me. And there must be that. If God does not talk to me, who is God then to me? God has got to talk to me. I've got to talk back to God. I may not see vision because I'm not a prophet. So he said, I saw a vision. And I told you to write it down. A vision. I saw a boy. And I saw exactly this. And he said, if I'm not his prophet, drive me away from Belgium. I think that was Belgium. Drive me away from Belgium. And they went back in their Bibles and they looked. God has exactly. God, he didn't do nothing and he saw the Father doing. He saw the Father healing that boy. That is why he called everybody and he said, this was his words. Drive me out of Belgium if this boy does not rise up again. And he went there. That was, he was not presuming. He was not presuming. He knew. He knew it exactly. But do you remember? They were praying with another boy. I think you remember those stories. He was praying with another boy. And that other boy was in the ICU. So bad, he was actually going. And the parents were coming and telling him, you know, preacher. And they were communists. They didn't believe there's God. They were atheists. They were telling him, you know, preacher, you know something? The boy that you healed, that you raised up from dead, ours is not as bad as that. Ours is not completely dead. So it will be easy for you. And he said, no, I didn't do it. It's God who showed me when I'm in America. God showed me when I was in America that that boy is going to be healed. So it's not me who does it. It's God. And they said, why don't you tell him to show you about ours also? That's how they were talking. They don't know God, nothing. He said, we don't tell him. He does himself. And until he does, we're just like that. Did you know they came to the hotel room for about 3 days? Coming every time, telling him, why don't you come, why don't you come? And the boy was getting worse and worse and worse. He came to a place where it was a machine that was doing it now. And one time, brothers, he even told him, don't you see it's very unfair that you want God to do something for you and you're not doing anything? And immediately, they were so desperate. Immediately, they came to Christ. Now down there, and they came to Christ. And you know what? Even when they come to Christ, he did nothing. He said, go. Then go. And after some time, they come and said, yeah, the Lord has told me now, I can do it. Not presuming. He went to the hospital, not presuming. He knew, God has told me now. I can just go and wait. And when he went there, that boy was healed. You don't presume. All right, let's go this. Presuming, Webster. I've got to wrote it out here. Webster says, to presume is to venture without actual authority. That's presuming. Or in parentheses, he's got a Webster, taking it for granted. He's just taking it for granted. Or to venture without authority. Or to take something just for granted. He says, now, that's something that the church must never do. It must not do that. You are not sure of yourself. You are just presuming, for you're just taking it for granted. Even for your salvation, don't take it for granted. Be sure. Be sure. Be sure. Be sure. This is not a joke. This is not a club. You know a club where people join club? This is not a club, brother. This is eternal life. This is eternal life. Be sure. Every one of us, be sure. Be sure. Okay, now down there is another quote talking about, it doesn't seem like it's going together with this quote, but why I put it there is sometimes God does not tell us things. But when we see it, we know, like now, when we see the prophet doing something, we know the Father, he has seen the Father doing it. When you see Jesus Christ, but he doesn't come and tell you, now I saw the Father healing this one, I'm going to heal him. He doesn't say that. He so much is his life. It's your life. It's just life. It's a life that you live. You just go. It's just your life. You get the point there? Yeah, you don't go and say, I saw the Father do, now I'm going to do. I saw the Father do every time. No! Jesus went everywhere. It's after the prophet who is now coming to interpret that I didn't do nothing. That quote. We don't even connect it with other things that Jesus did. When he says, I do nothing until I see the Father do. It's the prophet who comes and says, he doesn't do nothing. Him and the Father are so one that when you see, that's why he comes to a place, he heals one person, he doesn't heal the other. We wondered why. Praise be to God. And I put this as a pattern. I think I put Jesus went to the Father and then he was touched by Thomas. And that's a pattern. That's my... I hope that it came it is colored. My statement there is colored. But let me just read this. Brother says, but if it was literal, it is in question and answers, 1961. This is something that people also don't know very much, and I thought I would just put it here so that people can see it. Brother says, but it was a little bit difficult there, where Jesus said in the first part of his resurrection, he said, touch me not. He had not yet ascended up. And then when he came to the room where Thomas was, he says, come over here and thrust your hand in my side. Put your finger. That's right. He hadn't ascended up yet. And the difference of the two, where one, he told them not to touch him. And over here, he told Thomas to come and touch him. Hadn't ascended up yet, see? For have we not yet ascended to the Father? I think you know that story. You know that story. He comes and he says, don't touch me, don't touch me. I'm not a servant to my father. And then the next time, this is my point here. He didn't tell them, now I've been to the father, I have come now, Thomas can't touch me. He doesn't say that. He just says, come touch my finger. And that's why the question is there. Come touch my arms, where and review the nails, and then come touch me now. But maybe that was in the morning, or that was in that when he called Thomas, that was maybe in the afternoon. And that was in the morning when he came and he said, don't touch me. Don't touch me, I'm not ascended to the Father. Now, I didn't know that until the prophet came and told me. It's because he didn't say nothing. And that's exactly about doing the Father's will. He doesn't say nothing. You just find him doing things, and you don't know whether the Father has done or not. It's the prophet who has said, if you see him do something, it's because he has seen the Father do it. That's exactly the problem. Him and the Father are so aligned. Just like we have come to that level. And you wonder whether can God become so one with a body, that's a mortal body, that mortal body to die. Yes, Jesus, remember this, Jesus has a body. People don't realize that. People don't realize that, brother. That is one thing. Do you know Adam's body? Adam's body was a body that could not die. In the Garden of Eden, that's a very bad statement to do, whatever it is. But listen, that's exactly what it is. You just read the quote. Adam was not dying. Adam was eternal. Adam was not dying. And the prophet says, God was even wondering, what do I do to make him sin? And he had to create something from him, a byproduct to make him sin. He says, he was eternal. He was not sin. And the body was not dying. It was not dying. He was not created. He was never a baby. He was never an old man until sin came in. That's exactly. But Jesus Christ was a baby, and he grew up to show, what is it? To show that we people in these bodies that are mortal, that are dying, God will come and will become one with us. That's exactly the way he was one with Christ. To show that. So that people stop saying that we must have a different body for Jesus Christ to come and dwell in us. No, to become one with us. He says, it is this day when we have these bodies, mortal, to die. When we have these bodies, this is the time for him. I will be in with you and you with me. This is the day. This is the time. Not to come in these bodies that are mortal, that are dying. Such that now from there, you can say, I don't do nothing until I see the Father do. My life is so much inclined with him. We are so much one with him. And don't make fun of it. Don't make fun of it. You may not even see. But you are led. You feel led. Sometimes you are led. Let me go through here. Let me go through here. Let me do this. You are led. You're so much inclined with him that your life is full of him. Just as Christ, he didn't come every time and say, you know, I saw the Father do, I'm going to hear this because I saw. He didn't say his life was like that. The whole life was like that. That's what I see. He wasn't to be touched after this, his resurrection. He had come out from the earth, you see. He came out from the earth and was walking among men, but he had not yet ascended, he said. He said to Mary, he said, don't touch me. It's Mary. She said, Rabbon. I think you know what Rabbon is. Rabbon is master or something. Master. I think in Hebrew. I don't know. I don't know what language is that. Master. He said, don't touch me, for I'm not yet ascended to the Father. But I said to my God and to your God, and to my Father and to your Father. And then that night, after he had done, went up before God and had rose from the dead, went up before God, coming back, and he invited Thomas, come and touch his side. See, he had ascended up before God. That's right. Okay, that's right. Now, Jesus went to the Father, and then he was touched by Thomas. Same pattern here. It's the same pattern here. He didn't do nothing until he saw the Father do it. So if you see him doing it, if you see him being touched by Mary, it's because he has gone to the Father, whether he's going to say it or not. Now, the same pattern here. If you see him doing something, it's because he has seen the Father doing it, whether he says it or not. I hope you get the point. Whether he says it or not, it's because he has seen the Father do it. Now you wonder why did Joshua. What did Joshua? He can't say, now son, stop. Why? He saw the father do it. He can't do nothing until he saw the father do it. Why was God complaining about Moses not doing it? Because Moses saw the father do it. How? How do we know he saw the father do it? Remember, just a minute ago, he had prophesied. It was a prophecy. He had seen a vision and told these people, I've seen a vision. He didn't say that. But he said, you see these people, you see, here coming. It was a prophecy. Prophecies come by visions. He had seen a vision. That all these people you see, you never see them again. They're gone. Amen. He saw the father do it. He had the authority. And he started crying to God, oh God. He said, Moses, I'm not going to carry you up on my beggar. You've been leaning on me. I'm not going to carry you. Tell the people to go forward. You saw me do it. Why cry? Why cry? Speak to the people and go forward. Speak the word. I told you to give hearty. Whatever you want, I told you to give hearty. Whatever you want, you have the authority. You can call the whole world to come and witness. You're not presuming. You're sure. This is sure. I told you. Give her whatever you want. Not me giving her, you. What if the prophet started crying? Oh, God. I pray, I pray, I pray. You're not praying nothing. You've seen the Father do it. Just do it. Yes. Amen. But you got to, there's no, you cannot presume. You cannot presume. You cannot presume. No, no, church should never presume. That's what he said. Now, let me go to the other quote now. I think the other one is trying to do God a service. I'll read it very fast. It's just a quote, a great quote. It's a great quote. No, but I'll read it very fast. You know it. God is sovereign. That's a statement, brother. He does what he wants. You know, brother John, there's something that marvels me, brother. There's something that marvels me. I don't know whether, you know, with my weaknesses, I see things that are so here, and you people, maybe I bring you here, and you people, but there's something that really marvels me. It doesn't leave me. Do you remember an international ministry? The prophet had an international ministry. He went around the world healing people until the angel came and told him. It's the angel who came and told him, nothing will stand before you. We talk about any disease, it will never stand before you. That was an international ministry given by an angel. And people running up, and that was true. Nothing stood against him. No, nothing stood before him. He brought every disease was healed. And he was told even cancer. Cancer was very bad disease that time. And even cancer. And that one, and a woman had a baby. I think it was a baby. And they're running up to go to that international ministry that was before there. That was given from God to a prophet. They're planning to go there. And God decides, today I'm not going to use that. God is sovereign. I'm not going to use that. And he takes that baby and a woman that's beside him says, I'm not saying that you don't go because you are supposed to go, but if you allow me, would you allow me? Are you telling me it's not God who talked to her? It's God who talked to her. And he said, can I please pray for her? And he took the baby and said, Lord, the prophet is praying there. Lord, would you please heal this baby? Just like that. And he did what God told her to do. God uses whatever he wants to use. And he took the baby back to the mother. And they walked to the rain. They walked to the rain. They walked to the rain. And they came there. And when the baby was taken by the prophet took her and said, what's wrong with the baby? The baby does not have nothing wrong with her. He said, what is the problem? Maybe the sister tried to say, no, I see it. I see why. That was true. He was saying, but you know what? The Lord healed her over there. Lord healed that baby over there. God is sovereign. He does. You cannot. You can bog him in a cup, in a bottle. No, you cannot bottle him up. No, he does whatever he wants to. He's God. To me, that seems small, but brother, that humbles me. That humbles me. Sometimes we present ourselves like it's only us. It's only me. God is using me and nobody else. Who told you that? God is sovereign. God is sovereign. One time God used a donkey. You think there are no people there that you can use? He used a donkey to speak to the prophet that was not listening. And you can see how much he was not listening. He was not listening. He was not listening. Even when he was arguing, you read that, he was arguing with the donkey. It doesn't even occur. How does the donkey talk to me? It doesn't even occur. God is sovereign. And we see here what David had done in the scripture. Reading of the First Chronicles 13. And his intentions were good. His intentions were good. His intentions were good. But God does not give us merits on good intentions. That's a very strong statement also. It's not good intentions that gives us merits. No. Good intentions are good. Good intentions are good. But it's not the good intentions that give us merit. Brother, that's why I say, Brother John, it trebles. I mean, I feel like I'm trebling. When I see somebody, a brother or a sister, he don't care. It's like you're careless. It's like you're so pumped up about yourself being somebody, like you can say anything about the word, and you don't care. This means this. You don't even care. Look at what the prophet is saying. You don't care. You say, because of this, is this. Because of this, is this. It makes me fear. I don't know that. And especially, let me say something. Let me say something here. Because it's coming to my mind. If you come to a place and the brothers are telling you, no, this is it. This is not it. This is not it. It doesn't cost you nothing to stop a bit. To recheck. I always give an example of somebody that was building. I don't know where I read that story in the message. I think it's the message. Yeah, somebody they said that this bridge cannot be built. This bridge cannot be built. I think it was over the water or something. And they said this bridge cannot be built. There's no way that we can build a bridge here. And somebody came, a scientist came, and said, an engineer came. No, I can build it. I can build it. I can build it. And he said, I think the prophet gives it like that. And he says, you mean you can build it? He said, yes, let's see. The prophet said, that man, that engineer, was not trusting anybody to check even, to test even the metals that are going to be put there. He was going there and making sure that everything is okay. Going to the laboratory, making sure that everything is okay. And when he finishes, he says, it's sure. It's made. That's how I feel. If brother don't come says you, this is not it. Brother, I'll not move until now I see something else. So you mean now you depend on brothers? No. I'm careful. I depend on him, but I'm careful. I'm careful. Because I know you are also used by God. If you see something, maybe there's something that the devil is bringing. I don't want that. I want to be careful. And I want to go. If I was to, I'll go back and ask God, how about this? How about this? You're telling me that. Remember, brothers, there's this man called Gideon. Gideon, after meeting, after the prophet coming and tells him whatever. That you are people from God and things like that. That was Gideon. And that you're going to defeat the Midianites. He said, is that so? After that, God came from heaven and he made a sacrifice, a very big sacrifice. And that God had a stick. He was sitting on a tree. And he said, that was God. And he touched that sacrifice with a tree like that, and the sacrifice burnt. And he was sure he was God. And he was told, now go, and you're going to defeat the Midianites. But one day, he wanted to make sure. He said, God, if surely it's you, and if surely that I'm going to go, and that I'm a man of valor, you called me a man of valor, and that I'm going to defeat this Midianites, I want to test you one time, Lord. Tell me. Let me just be sure. And he said, I'm going to put this fleece down. And he put that fleece down there. And he said, Lord, I want all the other places to have dew, but this fleece. And I was dew all over. I don't know which one started the other, but both of them. There was fleece all over, but that fleece, dew all over, but that fleece was dry. And he said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But he said, Lord, I'm not trying. If you bear with me once more, Lord, to be sure, I want something else, Lord, just to be sure. I want to put that fleece there. And I want it to be wet, and everywhere else is dry. And God, even, he was not moved on. He knew this was God. He didn't care now. And I'm just saying, let's be careful. Let's not beat our, is it called thorax or chest, whatever. Let's not beat our chest like that. Brothers, let's humble ourselves. Let's humble ourselves. Let's look at it. Let's be careful. Let's, I think the scripture says that the foolish tread with, like that, pumping, where angels walk like that. The foolish people do that like that, carelessly. But where the angels, but the wise would just do like the angels. Careful with humility. I'm not trying to tell people to depend on people, because people are going to jump on that. No, I'm not saying that. Depend on God, but be sure. There's nothing wrong in telling God. Did you know when the prophet lied to those tax people, those lawyers? Do you remember that? He went and prayed the whole day, and God told him, son, I've forgiven you. Son, I've forgiven you. And the prophet stood up and said, Lord, if I don't bother you very much, I'd like you to do something for me. Even if you've forgiven me, bring a whirlwind. The prophet said, it almost took him up. What's wrong in making sure? Make sure God is God. Be careful. That's what I mean, be careful. Let's humble ourselves. Now, there's only one way to serve God. That's by doing his will, not good intentions. There's only one way to serve God. That's by doing his will. His command. His will. His command. Take the children of Israel to Canaan. That was the command. Whatever is in between, just crush it and go. You have the authority, you have the command. You have the authority, you have the command. You've seen me do it, just do it. Okay. And God, being sovereign, there's no one to tell him what to do or how to do it. He does it the way he knows. The right way, he knows the right way to do it. And that makes me feel good. And it ought to make all of us feel good. And I'm sure it does. For one would have it coming this way, and one have it going that way, and one the other way. But one great thing again about God, he has not left us. He has not left us now without knowing what is the truth and how to do it. He's not left us like that. He lets us know how to do it, when to do it, and I should have put that quote there about 5 musts. I keep on saying about the 5 musts, and I think I would like to bring the 5 musts. I think I brought here about the 3 musts. Don't dislocate, don't displace. But there's five musts that when you're serving God. And he doesn't say about a preacher. He says, every one of us, when you're serving God, if you want to do God a service, there are five musts. Maybe I'll try to post them on the fellowship group. I'll try to do that. You got to have for the five musts. Must be the right person. And sometimes I'm very sorrowful. Sometimes I go before people and I'm wishing that Don was here. That's sorrowfulness. Okay? Don was here to talk to these people because I'm feeling so much like that and I don't know what to say to Nani Believer. And I know if Don was here, he would just go and do it. That's sorrowfulness, of course. And now I've been telling God, let me, when I get there, just let me have a minute to talk to you and you tell me what I'm going to tell those people. And like that. Because I'm one thing, brother, I'm very nervous. I don't know how to speak. I'm not an orator. I don't know how to speak. My words don't come out right. I want to say this comes. I'm just like that, but just like that, and we are not supposed to be sorrowful, also. Okay, he knows the right way. You feel good, and I'm sure he does. For one would have coming this way. Okay, but one great thing again about God: God has not left us without knowing what to do. He wouldn't be just to punish us for doing something that we didn't know how it was going to be done. He's a just God. He doesn't do those things. And then let us stumble into something. He's not that kind of a God. He's God. He's a God that speaks the word and expects his children to believe it. This is for believers. That cross, being a prisoner, is for believers. It's not for non-believers. Believers will believe his word. Believers will take him at his word. Believers will be prisoners to that word, they will. And there will be a line between a believer and that word or that God. There will be a line that you'll be communicating. And each one has. But as I said the other day, it's clogged up. It's always clogged up by other things of the world. If you unclog it, then it be a straight flow of godliness between you and him. He expects his children to believe it, and therefore he knows what's the best, and when he do it, and how to do it, when to do it, and how to do it. We have our ideas of it, but he knows. And then if he set up a system that what is going to do, and didn't tell us what was going to happen and how it was going to happen, then we would be stumbling at it. Would be justified in our stumblings. In other words, if we did something we didn't know that is what God wants, and we did it wrong, we would be justified to do it. We are not wrong because actually we didn't know. That's what he's saying here. If we stumbled at it, we didn't know. God will not judge us like we are wrong because we didn't know. But he makes us know. It's after you knowing that he requires. I remember that scripture that says, I forget now. I think it's in Corinthians. It says, when you didn't know, he winked. You know, wink? Like that. He looked aside like there's nothing happening. Because you didn't know. But he said, now I command you. Now that you know, I command you. Do it, you must do it. You must do according to his word. Because now you do it is a command now. Right. Before you didn't know, it wasn't, you didn't know. He winked. Whatever shortcomings you are. But now, since you have known, now God commands you. You got to do it. How it was going to happen now? Trying to do something, each one would be justified. But there's only one way, and that is his word now. And another thing, David here, we see that in his heart, he wanted to do something that was good. He had no bad motive or no bad objective. But the house, the ark of the Lord, was away from the people. And he wanted to bring the ark of God back to its place. So the people would consult God about the things that they wanted. That was a good idea. He's actually serving God. He wanted to serve God. Mm-hmm. Consult God, the things of God. Instead of just letting it go, what if Brother Breer, now he comes. He comes here and he says, David's idea was good. David's wanting to do that, it was good. It was very good. That was good. That's how we are supposed to do. We are supposed to be zealous of serving God. Zealous of doing God's work. Zealous of serving our kingdom. It's our kingdom. Don't even expect thanks from me or anybody else. It's your kingdom. It's like when Sister Rhonda sweeps here, cleans here, he doesn't accept it as to come and tell him, oh, you did good. No, that is his work. That's your work. This is your house. And that is exactly about our kingdom. When we do things into our kingdom, we are doing it. That's where I belong. That's home. What if the little lady, he goes to something else. What if the little lady and her husband, a minister of the gospel, okay, instead of just letting it go, what if, paragraph 33, what if Brother Breyer and the father of this little boy said, well, it's too bad, child, just got hurt, killed, I guess, just something that happened, but they went quickly to God, Praise be to God. God is always there. God is the nearest help in times of need. But what if they said it's nothing? They were concerned. They went to him. And God was so close to them. And let me say this. Sometimes we think that we ourselves are taking us to God. Even the idea of going to God is God's. Even going to God is God's. It's God doing it. God takes us to himself so much that everything that we do is him. He's commanding it. He's actually ordering everything that we do. Our steps are ordered from on high. That's what the scripture says. What if the little lady and her husband, a minister of the gospel, a few nights ago or days, when that little lady had that busted spine, that just stood up, the doctor said she would be paralyzed all her life. What if the husband and she said, well, honey, we just console ourselves to that. But quickly, they did something about it. They went to God. How many things in the Bible would we refer to? Of how when people get in trouble, get to God. God is trying to tell us how when we need. He's the nearest help in times of need. I was giving a testimony about Brother Mariah to Brother Don there with Brother Michael on Sunday. How they had they were lifted and were going home and Brother Chega was there. Brother Chega died. Brother Chega was there, but Brother Chega, they didn't want to carry Brother Chega. I don't know why. They just wanted Brother Mariah, but Brother Mariah was going further. And there was a woman there with a baby, and they were given a lift and there were thieves that had stolen that car, and they drove them, and they had an accident. And the boy, and the child, I don't know whether girl or boy, he busted his head. He said, just like that. The mother thought he's dead. And when they get out of after the car roaring, when they get out, Brother Mariah said, can I pray for this baby? And the woman was screaming, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Pray what? Pray what? My baby's dead. He was crying like that. Brother Mariah said, let me just pray for her. And Brother Mariah prayed for the baby. And I believe, that's why, I don't know what happened to Brother Mariah. I love Brother Mariah so much. Brother Mariah was a spiritual man. And he took that baby and prayed for the baby. Even amidst that screaming and whatever, he didn't care. He just took the baby. And I believe that was God telling him to pray for the baby. He just prayed for the baby. And the baby was taken by somebody, and they went to the road. The woman still screaming, and they went to the road, and they had help. They were taken to the hospital. And the driver and the other guy who had stolen the vehicle, they ran away. And they went to the hospital. They found the owners of this vehicle were cut. They were really had very bad cuts by this. They were robbers. They had very bad cuts. But this is my testimony. When the doctors looked at the baby had nothing. Praise be to God. But they are nothing. He's the nearest help in times of need. Brother, God is there. God is there. God is there. Just trust in him. He's God. Okay. Well then, in them days,
I'm finishing here. But that's fine. Well, then, in them days, they had only one meeting place. They had only one meeting place where they could meet, and that was at the ark, under the blood. That's the meeting place yet, under the blood, the mercy seat, was sprinkled to give mercy to the worshipper or to the asker, then come to ask the petition. But do you know something else about that ark when it didn't go? Do you know, have you ever looked up where it went when it killed somebody? It was taken to a neighbor. You know, they were just like here, just going, singing, getting into Jerusalem. And when they were here, it killed somebody. So they were not to touch it. Every fear gripped them. They were not to touch it again. So they said, the nearest house, like here, nobody's going to touch it. The house was like, nobody was wanting to touch it. And it just came. I think they cut those things that was cutting it. They were very careful to not touch nothing about that. So the cow was released, and that ark was left there. I think for 6 months or 4 or 5 months or something like that, it was left there. It was in a house called, it was in a house of a man called Abed-Edom. Abed-Edom. I think Abed-Edom. The prophet says, and even David realized that home prospered very, very, very much when that ark was there. That was God there. You say it was an ark? Yeah. We are the ark. God is here. We are the ark. We are where God dwells now. All right. All right. Mercy to worshiper or asker. Then he came to ask the petition of God. And God had a special routine, the way you had to go to. But that, and he wouldn't accept anything else. He wouldn't accept any other provision, just the way he fixed it. We got to go to God by the way he has provided. This is the way to come to God. This is the way to be one with God. This is the way to do God's service. Okay. Now, the other is talking about a son that's adopted. Let me read it very fast. It looks a long one, but I will read it very fast. I'll not talk very much. Paragraph 59 is in the book called Hear Ye Him. Hear Ye Him. That's 1960. Hear Ye Him. I try not to talk very much. Now, if that boy was born, that boy was born in a family. He's a son of this son. It's Joe. Say, for example, Joe. Or my son Bill. Like that. Or Gabriel. Now, like that. Now, if that boy was born, now, listen. If that boy was born in the home as a son, but he did not become a right boy, he's born as a son, he's a son, but he's not a right boy, would not follow his father's instructions. You are the bride. You don't say, you are the bride. You are the bride. You are a member of the bride. That's true. Okay. Would not follow his father's instructions. Would not be about his father's business. That boy was always a son. That does not mean you're not the bride. You're the bride. Somehow, you know, there's a quote. There's a quote, Brother Don. I don't know. I know you know it. I think it's in the book called Why Christ Speak. He says, if you knew your position, you'd save yourself a lot of trouble and God too. In other words, you'd save God a lot of trouble and yourself. Because you are son, because you are daughter, whatever you do, you are disobedient, you're doing, but God has got to bring you. That's why you see a son that is not very obedient in the house. He's always spanked. He would save his mother and his father a lot of spanking, a lot of effort of spanking. You understand that? If you just become a good boy, do you understand what I'm saying? Exactly. So if you are daughter of God, if you are son of God, you would save God a lot of trouble and yourself too. If you just look at what God wants and come, that would be easy. You are struggling. You are struggling with God. God wants you this. You don't want that. But because you are son, because you are daughter, you got to be. There's no way you can get lost. You belong here. But you're giving God a lot of trouble. And yourself too. Because there's always spanking. I don't come here. Come here. Pulling you. God is working over time to bring you back. Okay. That's he's talking about this son now. A right boy. And not to follow his father's instruction. Would not be about his father's business. That boy was always a son.
But he never did have any inheritance. Did you know that? He never got any inheritance. He was just a castaway. He was always a son. And when you get to the Holy Ghost, you've got a son. This is different from when now after the seals, and he brings about what the Holy Ghost is. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you are God's sons. Or God's daughter, that's true. But if you don't obey God, walk in the right, walk in the word, believe God, then you haven't have any inheritance. Well, that's just exactly the way God does it. God does it yet. He does it exactly way that way yet. You can be a son. You're just like that. You just come, go like that. We see you as a believer, but just like that. God wants to, you know, the prophet said in the book called Invisible Union, he says, if you are a believer of this word, of this age, God will vindicate the same. God will vindicate. God will show you. God will manifest himself in you. God will. God will. God will. But now listen. Now notice this. Walk in the right, walk in the word, believe God, then you won't have any inheritance. Well, now notice this now. What the boy was righteous, what if the boy was righteous? A gentleman, paragraph 60. A gentleman. He just loved his father. He loved to be about his father's business. He liked to see all the vineyards straightened up. Just like every man at his post of duty. Yeah? And he found a man shucking. Shucking is being lazy, is that right? You people are English people, I don't know. Shucking is being lazy. Is that right? Shucking or throw. It's like so he's throwing. S-H-I-R-K. Shuck. Shucking is being lazy. It's being slothful. It's being, you're not, you know, like that. Shucking. And found a man shucking. Let me get it. Just loved his father. And I'm like, okay. And he found a man shucking. He walked over to him. Now, this is great, brother. No pride, no nothing that I'm a son. Come here. Do you know this is our lad? This is our... Not like that. Not like that, brother. Not like that. Look at the way he's going to explain it. He just go to that man. He is a son. He's kind of the owner. But no proud, no nothing. Look at what he says. He says, he takes his vineyard straight and up. And he found a man shaking. He walked over to him and put his arms around him. Brother, this is good. Around him and said, the other day, why, my father, he walked over there and he seen this man was shucking on the job. So he walked over. He seen the father do it. He seen how the father did it. Now he's doing exactly the same. He doesn't beat them. He doesn't do that. He saw the father shucking the job. So he walked over and put his hand, his shoulder and said, sir, you are my father's servant, see? Sir, you are my father's servant. And begin, just like you'd have done. Oh, father, say, you know, I really like that boy. Because of the way you have handled that, now the father says this. What do? We thump our chest like, that's why most of the things that are supposed to happen with us are not happening. We are so proud. In fact, let me tell you something. This is me. I don't know whether it's good like that. Some of us, if we are given the powers that are supposed to be with us, we can destroy ourselves or destroy our brothers with it. Because of pride and feeling like we are somebody. That's why God is even careful. We are not come to a maturity somewhere where we can be used of God in a mature manner. What is now? What if the boy? Okay, now I've read that. See? Oh, father, say, you know, I really like that boy. That's how the father would, the way you have handled that, the father would come and say, oh, father, say, you know, I really like that boy. That's my son. That's my son. That's how the father would, that, a daughter, the son, that's my son, he's doing so good. That's my daughter, he's doing good. Okay. You know, that's my son. As we call it in America, the chief of the block. I know that's a saying here. A chief of the block. A chief of the block. A chief of the block, you know. He's my boy, I'm proud of him. That's exactly right. You know, that's a good boy. That's a good son of God. That's a good daughter of God. That's a good brother. That's a good sister. You know what happened then? When that boy became a certain age, that boy was adopted into the family. Now, what did they do? They took him out in the public place, put a special robe on him. That is God manifesting. That's God vindicating that you're his son. And had a ceremony. And all the people of the city gathered around. And looked upon this boy. And the father had a ceremony of adoption Oh, don't miss this. After that son was adopted, his name on the checkbook was as good as my daddy, as daddy's. If you come to where you're preaching, so God is so much pleased with you. If you say something, it's just like God saying it. God has brought, you've come so close to God with God. You've done the best. God loves you. You love God so much, and you are there. With God. That was how Paul was. You know, God trusted Paul. God trusted Abraham. You remember that time when the girls were misbehaving? If you look at some of the brothers, the way they behave even in the groups, you'd fear to give them that kind of a power. But that woman and that boy that were misbehaving, something came to him. Say whatever you say towards that boy and that girl. If you say they die, they will be packed out right now. What do you say? Boy, girl, I forgive you. What did Jesus say on the cross? When they have pierced him and did that with all his power, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Some of us, if you're given the power, that kind of power. All right. Waiting to, okay. This is where God's trying to get his church. This is where God is trying to get his church. Just to say this mountain, be moved, and it will be moved. Our authority sons of God. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Waiting to a spot where the sickness will be arise. It will be arise, and it will be, and it will be. That way, the blind will receive their sight. Deaf and dumb, we pray for them now. But then, you will command it. Don't say, the signs shall follow them. Don't they say, the signs shall follow them that believe. They shall pray for the sick. He said, they shall cast out devils. Not I will, not God will. They shall cast out devils and the devils go. They will. If you say to this mountain, not if I, God, say to this mountain, if you say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt in your heart. What we need is adoption. Sons and daughters need adoption. Something that you can go close to God and do everything to God and serve God with all your heart and love God with all your heart until God can say, this is my beloved son. I love the way he did about Job. Have you found my son righteous there? My son Job is righteous there? Can God give a testimony about me like that? I want that. God help me. All right. But how can if you say this mountain, okay. But how can the church, the Pentecostal church, and the Methodist and the Baptist churches be adapted until they come to discipline? Until they come to discipline. We've got to be disciplined first. God could not trust the power with the church. Look at that. God could not trust the power with the church. It's hard to tell what you do. Can you see that? Can you see that? It's hard to tell what we can do with that power. God wants to trust us with the power. Okay. How could a father trust his business with a boy that might simply pollute his whole inheritance? He could do it. The church has got to come to a place where it is disciplined. God's on the work right now. Discipline now. He took that son out and made the ceremony. And he said, this is my son. And I adopt him into my family. Whatever he says, I say it too. Whatever God says, I say it too. Whatever that son says, God says it too. Me and my father are one. We don't speak twice. When he speaks, I'm speaking. When he's speaking, it's one. All right. Now he took that son. Okay. Now God was doing the same thing there to Jesus. In the Mount of Transfiguration. Now God was doing the same thing there to Jesus. He was doing just exactly what he required them to do. Jesus had preached him, and he took him up and took three other witnesses, Peter, James, and John, hope, faith, and charity, brought Moses and Elijah down to witness this great adoption. And what was he done? The Bible said he was transfigured. He was transfigured. In other words, he showed how great this was. He was transfigured. And his raiment shined like the sun, a special robe amen, a special robe, a special anointing. And when they looked up, they saw him shining in the glory of God. And a voice said, this is, don't think about that. This is the same with me. This is the same with you. This is my beloved son, Don. This is my beloved son, Meresit. This is my beloved daughter. This is the same. But we've got to come to a place where we are molded to that. Where God can trust us. So humble. So loving him. So serving him. Not somebody who can just go and beating his children. Not someone like that. Not somebody who can misuse his power. And when they looked up, they saw him shining in the glory. What God wants to do with the church tonight, wants to do with an individual. What God wants to do tonight, wants to do with an individual, is find somebody. God will say, this is my brother's son. Hear ye him. Oh my. He says, okay. What God wants to do with the church tonight, wants to do with an individual, is find somebody fighting. The Holy Spirit is starting to fight men. He can take him out to a certain place. Speak to that person. Anoint them and give them something special. Great powers and gifts to work his will and do his will. But how can we do it when he's constantly has to come up and say, oh, it's terrible. Instead of coming being happy, he's coming. God is coming and saying, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's so bad. It's terrible. They just run after this. They run after error. They won't go to church. Look what a condition that the church is in. So if God can do it in the body, if God cannot do it with the body, he will pick out individuals and do it. God's able of these stones to his children and to Abraham. Let's pray. Father, we see our mirror. We see our mirror. I don't know about the brothers and sisters, but I'm not like that, Lord. I am not like that. I don't see that in the mirror of this, Lord. But Lord, crush me. Bring me into that level that you want me, somewhere that I can really pursue, that you can be happy of me. In the same case with my brothers and sisters. We want that. We want to be people that whenever you look at us, you say, this is the chief of my board. This is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son. This is it, Lord. We would love that. How we commit ourselves to you. We want to serve you better. We want to be better citizens of this kingdom, Lord. Sometimes we don't show the right picture of who you are, Lord. And Father, forgive us. But Lord, take our hearts and bring us closer to you. We want to become proper prisoners, Lord. Proper prisoners that will do nothing, Lord, until you do it yourself. Thank you, Father. For our needs, Father, have mercy. With our little faith, Lord, please have mercy upon us and give us, grant it, Lord, whatever needs that we place before you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the people who are listening in. Thank you for everything. We pray for Brother Michael, who is not with us. Lord, bless him and order his steps. Protect him. Watch for him, Lord. We also have brothers who are not here that we love so much. You didn't have like them to leave, but they left, Lord. We pray for them. We commit them to you, Lord. We pray for them. We love them, Lord. Let us not have anything in us, Lord. Let us anything. Because that is not like you. You didn't like that. We have against. No, but you said, let there be peace with everyone, without which you shall never see God. That's also what you said in your scriptures. And that's what we want. We love them, Lord. We love them. Help us to continue loving them, Lord God, and help them also, Lord. And help us all together, Lord, to be better children of thy kingdom is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Brother Don, whatever you want to do.
the Lord. Amen. We appreciate the message. Appreciate Brother Zumba. I know he's tired. I seen on the group there where he had ministered to Kenya this morning, early morning, and then coming right on. And so we appreciate so much. And he said a lot of good things, and I'd like to comment on some of them, but I'm not going to right now. But I really appreciate the things that were said, and I think it's good for us. I would like to maybe sing that chorus again. If you want to stand together with us on 585, What a Mighty God We Serve. And you look at the things that Brother Goomba talked about. This is a mighty God. This is a mighty God that we serve. And we are looking all the way back at what he's been doing all the way through, coming down. And now it's come up into the headship. And so we're seeing the reality of what it all was. We see the vindication and we see the promises. And, I didn't realize Brother Grimmer was talking about, I don't know if he mentioned Gideon or, no, somebody else, I don't remember now who it was, but where God, Brother Branham, he was talking about Brother Branham's God giving that confirmation, and he wanted more confirmation. And I thought, that's pretty powerful. How do you ask God for that? You're thinking, okay, he showed you, he's did it, and so you have to be careful, because you don't want to be doubting what God said, but you just want something more. And when to come to that place, you have to have a real relationship. You have to have a real relationship. Just like if you was asking your father, you wouldn't think nothing of it. It wouldn't be any doubt there. You're just saying, Lord, I want some more. I want some more of this promise confirmed. I want it to be just so real, and I want that blessing. And God gives it. God gives it to his children. Amen. Let us sing that. What a mighty God. Mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty dismissed in the name of the Lord. Amen.